Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on, oh, geez, it's already December. We missed last week's show. Which you'll explain, and it's now 12-2.
I had guests, and it was this flurry of activity, and it was Tuesday. Everybody knows Tuesday is, you know, Tuesday nights is podcast night with Dvorak, and before I knew it, I'm like, uh-oh, that's bad. And you were texting me and all that, which you don't usually text. And you're texting me, and I'm like, oh, man, so I had to cancel. I'm sorry.
Who are these people?
My family.
Coming in to interrupt the show.
My father gets within
don't
about they 5 months.
Understand what show business is all about?
Can you believe this?
And they're Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. There's money on the line. Well, if my father gets within about 5 miles, the earth starts shaking. He moves. You think I move quickly? He's moving.
Is your father-in-law?
No, my father.
Or your father?
Yeah, Barry.
He walks fast, or he's a
everything. He's telling me all sorts of stuff, and he's, you know, we're going over different things, and it's, you know, one thing to the next, and you know, I went out to dinner with him, and we're all talking, and everybody's talking about something, and he goes, "Oh, look at that!" I'm like, what are we looking at? You know, well, look at that. I'm like, wait a minute, we're in the middle of a conversation. You know,
multitasker.
He's what is he, 74 or 75 years old, or something like that now, and he's doing pretty well. So yeah. you gotta take that. I you know what I did, just real quick on a personal note. So I, you know, sometimes you get some blemishes or distortions or whatever you want to call them on your hand. They used to call them like liver spots. Now they call them sunspots or sun something like that. So I have some of these brown kind of
lesions,
age spot, yeah, lesions on my face. And my wife says, "Why don't you get that removed?" I'm like, "It adds character, you know." No. So I went to this dermatologist today, and this office.
It's like people that have these big, giant moles with hair coming out of them.
That's,
so why don't they get these removed? It doesn't take a genius.
Yeah, no, especially with the long whiskers hanging out. Like, you know, a lot of Chinese people have the long.
Yeah, they got a big, giant mole.
Ugh.
And then there's a bunch of hair sticking out of it.
That's it's like a second head. You know? Anyway, so... I went to this dermatologist today, and this is one of these in Fort Lauderdale on Las Olas, and this office is just amazing. They got big screens with all sorts of things going on.
Isn't that the high rent district?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right around the corner from my office. So I go there, and sit down. I meet the doctor. First of all, the doctor comes out, this guy, you know, good looking guy. He's got to be like 12 years old. Okay, it's like Doogie. It's like Doogie House. I think, I'm feeling a little aged here. He goes, no. I'm 52. I just look at how great our stuff does, he says to me. But now he was a young guy. So they decide they're going to do the laser. They have like 12 different lasers. We could do this laser. We could do this laser. We could do this damn thing. And I'm like, listen, just tell me what works, what can get me in and out of here the quickest, and what would be the fastest recovery time, right? Well, he says, what we could do is a whole face thing. It's like, you know, it's a couple of different visits and all that. The only thing is your face will like puff up. You look like a kind of a meatball afterwards, right? You know? I'm like, you know, I'm not thinking I want to do that. Well, we could do the...
Yeah, facial peel.
Yeah, it's some kind of peel, but some kind of bright light.
Yeah, it takes about 20 years off the way you look.
Well, I didn't feel like doing that. So I did this laser thing where there's a bright light laser. They numb you up a little bit. There's this cold air that they put on the area they're about to hit with the laser. And it is, I mean, cold. So cold that it was on my forehead, like right in there. And I was getting like a brain freeze. I said, "Doc, man, you got to stop that right now. This is killing me, man." It wasn't the fact that it's like a rubber band snapping on your face. I said, "What does that smell, Doc?" And he said, "That's you."
Burning flesh.
So now I look like a guy who basically did a faceplant motorcycle accident.
Well, that's what you can tell people.
Yeah, like I was in a motorcycle accident.
Tell me you dropped your bike.
Yeah, I dropped the bike. Yeah.
But you dropped your bike, but it wasn't your fault.
No, exactly. I live to talk about it. I was wearing a helmet. You can see nothing on my head. It's just a face on that. I just scraped up a little bit on the pavement.
A good story is a truck pulled out in front of you, and you had to dump the bike, and you slid underneath.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And you rolled around, and it's like, and you landed, your face banged against the ground.
Mm.
It's a good story.
Yeah. Anyway, so, you know, my guest finally left. You know what they say about guests? Guests are like fish. Ever hear this?
No.
After 3 days, they both stink. So my guest finally left. We had all sorts.
How long were they there? They were there for 3 days?
They were there for, well, my son came in from college. My daughter came in from New York. My dad came down for a day or so, and then another day. And then other people came down and all that. We had the turducken. My buddy made a beautiful turducken. John and Debbie had a great event. It was very nice. And so, you know, it was nice here. It was cool. The weather has been beautiful in terms of temperature, lousy in terms of weather. Rained all day today. And my air conditioning is out. I got things. I have problems. I don't even want to talk about it. Let's talk about market issues, okay, can we?
Yeah, we missed a week, and there was a lot of activity. A
lot of activity. The big thing probably is gold and oil. Oil probably more important.
Oil's dropping like a rock.
Oh, unbelievable.
I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's going to go to 40.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, the big reason here is, first of all, we had the issue of the – let's backtrack. First, we had the dollar moving higher. And as the dollar moves higher, many of the commodities and those that commodities that are priced in the dollar obviously move in inverse. So you have gold getting smacked and copper also, and you get platinum, palladium, you also get silver. Oil, big problem. Natural gas moves to its own drummer. Kind of it's hot weather, down. It's cold weather, up. You know, it's every day it moves.
Yeah, you can't tell.
But
it's impossible
oil,
to play.
Oil's moving all over the place, straight down mostly. And then the big vote's going to happen. There was two big votes last week. One was a referendum by Switzerland. The Swiss were talking about putting something like 20 to 30% of their overall assets of the government in gold. Now, if they did that, they'd
now,
be...
So I think this is a wise move because right now there's downward pressure on gold and they won't affect it. I mean, if they were buying when gold was up, moving up, they probably have jerked it up to over 2,000. Through demand, I think now's a good time to do this.
Well, meanwhile, that referendum did not pass. Overwhelmingly shut down.
Yeah.
And gold was not happy about it. Gold moved down, I don't know, some ridiculous amount. Now, that was on, it was, I think, Thursday, Friday. I talked to a fellow that does a lot of work in this area. His name is Tom McClellan. And he said, you know, there's something. Remember I told you about that GOFO squeeze that was going on? How the lending of... the lending to buy gold, low interest rate, and it was paid you to actually to buy gold. Remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was hitting that hard. He says, you know what? This is just ridiculously silly traders, knee-jerk reaction to that deal. And, you know, I think it's crazy. And every time we've seen this kind of setup, gold has rallied. Meanwhile,
it's down to 1199.
Yeah, but it was 1140 on this referendum defeat overnight and then snapped back. It was like an 8% turnaround. On gold to the upside. One of the best days in 5 years for gold and silver. Silver was up 7% after this referendum didn't pass.
Nice.
Pretty amazing. So now let's kind of fast forward here for a second and talk about what happened with oil. So there was a decision that was going to be made by OPEC. The big decision in the meeting was going to be, hey, maybe they'll do a cut in production, maybe 400,000 barrels a day of cut because they want to defend the price. It makes sense. They make all their money from oil, and oil prices are coming down dramatically. There's no end in sight to this, right? So the consensus was maybe 400,000 barrels. Still not a big deal, but 400,000 barrels a day they'll cut back in production. So the meeting comes, and they say, no cut in production. Well, that was that. Okay, oil moves down 10%. WTI crude was down 10% on that to about 64. And why would they do this? Any thoughts on this?
No.
I mean, it's not good for them, right?
I don't know.
Well, they must have known it wasn't going to be good to bring down prices because their countries, they're essentially, that's all they run on is the fact that they produce oil. What else do they do there? What else does Saudi Arabia export? Can you think of one thing?
Sand. They export Wahhabism, that's for sure.
I mean, what else? What else do these
fundamental
countries?
Islam, they export that.
Right. Really?
Well, I heard, I'm going to bring this up. I bring it up all the time.
Turkey? What? Camel jerky?
No, I've never had camel jerky. Do they actually make that?
I don't know. Did I talk to you about the turducken version of the camel? Did I talk to you about that?
No. You stuff a donkey inside a camel inside of an elephant.
This is true. In the Bedouin societies, here we have turducken, which is a duck inside of a chicken inside of a turkey. You cook it and all that. In the Bedouin societies, you take eggs, you cook eggs, you put it in a chicken. You take the chicken, you stuff it into a sheep. You take the sheep and you stuff it into a camel. You cook the whole thing. I'm not kidding.
Well, I'm okay.
No.
So I'm listening to this Saudis. This is some years back, and he said that they can make money at $10.
Well, maybe they can, but they make less money.
That's true.
We agree with that. So here's what's happening, in my opinion. OPEC is basically playing chicken. So the hope is, well, let's back up. Where, I'm going to ask you a question here. Where is their biggest competition today, and why is oil dropping?
Well, the biggest competition, I believe, is Russia.
It is Russia. What about the newest competition? Let's look at it that way.
The United States.
Correct. So pretty much, what are we talking about? Last 5 years? Not even 5 years, maybe. But let's say 5 years, the United States has become a major powerhouse in oil, right?
Right, because we decided to. We always knew we could. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's that huge field in North Dakota, which nobody wants to talk about, but it's about the size of all the reserves in Saudi Arabia, although it takes a little more effort to get it out.
Right, effort converts into price.
Yes.
Okay, now, so the OPEC is saying, you know what, hey, here's what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do, guys. We're not going to lower production. Let's bring down prices. We think that it costs about $70 for them to break even in the shale region on bringing up oil and selling it, refining it, all that. $70 break-even point. Now, if we can drop the price of oil down, we're okay. We got billions of dollars sitting around here. We can hold out for a while. Let's bring the price down and break the backs of all these shale operators. Therefore, they'll be offline, and therefore the production would be cut through not from us, but from them, and it will naturally bring up the price again, and it will be a longer-term solution than us just cutting back production and making everybody rich along the way. We'll get hurt a little while, but we'll try to do our best to bring down the price so, you know, these guys are a big knockout blow. What do you think?
Well, this happened in the 70s. There was and actually it happened again in the 80s. But in the 70s, it was more noticeable because in the 70s, the OPEC put the squeeze on us, and that's when we had lines. You had to wait in line at a gas station. And sometimes around the block, there were rationing. You couldn't buy if you had your license plate. If it was an odd or an even number, you had to not commute that day. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
My dad just switched the license plate on the cars.
Yeah, that'd be smart. That's your dad.
And what he would do is he would siphon the gas out of one car into the other.
Yeah, you can do that too.
And one of the times that he did this, he decided, this whole hose thing was sucking the.
Yeah, the
terrible,
whole thing.
Terrible.
That's when locking gas caps came to be popular because people at night would skulk around the neighborhood stealing gasoline. It was a different era that a lot of people will never experience, but whatever the case
is. Let me just say the final story of this. You have to hear this, okay?
Okay.
So my dad decided, you know, this whole siphoning gas and sucking it and then spitting and getting into the thing and then putting it, way too time consuming. So he decided he's going to use a shop vac. Okay. So he puts the shop vac in, and he starts siphoning.
Already sounds like a bad idea. A
very bad idea. And I'm just standing there going, hey, Dad, great idea. I'm a kid. What a great idea. So he siphons the gas out, okay? And then he's like, let's see what we got. So he opens the top. Oh, we got lots of gas. Let's get more. So he puts it back in. Now, if you've ever been around a shop vac, you know there's a little spark. It's a little spark that when you turn the little thing on, right? Turns it on. Boom. The whole shop vac explodes.
Blew the lid off the shop vac and caught the. Did the gasoline get all over or what happened?
He basically had no hair on the right side of his. I was blown back like 5 feet. Okay, I just went flying. Okay, he had just his whole beard was all singed. His hair was all singed up the whole side. Yeah, I could see it like it was yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was what I'd call dumb.
Yeah, that was not a good idea with Barry. It was not a good idea.
Anyway, the so that was that era, and what it had done, because during the when all the gas lines were forming and all the misery was taking place because our oil was not being delivered, all these alternative. This is the initial impact of alternative energy where it first started up. They had you could buy solar collectors. These things that you put on your roof that had the water running through it. It would heat the water. The sun would heat the water and give you hot water. And there was all these, and it was a huge business. And then parallel to that was the shale oil from Canada was now at the point, because the prices were going up, where it was affordable to pull it out of the ground because it was a very expensive process. And then everything turned around, and they oil supplies returned, and then all the prices dropped like a rock because I guess they were just saving it up, so they dumped it on the market and dropped the price radically, and it put everybody out of business. Put all the Canada guys shut up their business, shuttered the business, and all the solar energy guys went out of business. It was a fiasco.
Yeah, well, it's like history repeating itself again.
It's exactly the same, and it is a 40-year cycle, and it's 40 years later we're seeing the exact same thing, and there you have it. And well, now we're starting to see this collapse of the prices, and it's going to screw up everything.
So maybe it's just the 70s playbook.
I don't know if there was really a playbook.
Well, but they made it a playbook now. I mean, they knew, they see what they did, they see what happened, and maybe they're just trying to redo.
I don't believe that these guys are that smart.
Oh, come on. Just because, I mean, they wear dresses.
React. I think it's just react. They react. They don't go back. Nobody says, except me maybe, well, what happened in the 70s? Can we repeat that the way it worked out? I think they just do these things and it just happens to work out. Hmm. Personally, I just don't believe it, that they can think that way.
Well, let's take a look at a couple of the charts here. I want to show you the recent. There's three different attachments. There's an oil recent, and there's a chart that shows the recent drop in oil from the OPEC meeting, and that went from about 72 down to about 64.5, 65. Intraday was about 64.5, and then popped back up. Right now it's trading at, let's see here, 67.75 right now, crude. And the longer term, though, is the more interesting chart there. You can take a look at this.
Which one?
This is one that says oil longer. Talking about the last, there's three different charts there, right? The first one. And this is a chart of the daily crude oil and the futures contract. And if you take a look at this, you can see that in the last 162 days, oil has dropped 34%.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, at the pump, it didn't totally translate exactly to the pump, but I think the average price for unleaded fuel now is about $2.77.
Yeah, it's lower.
Yeah, I saw $2.72 recently. Now, I saw some gasolines. One's at $2.72. The guy across the street's at like $3.03. I'm thinking, why are there any cars over there? Why? They just don't like to go across the street? You know, the car guys are, that's 25, 30 cents. That's a 10% differential. That's a lot of money.
You mean, you're telling me that people were at the $3.03 and yeah, they wouldn't go to $2.75?
Yeah, that's what I saw.
Well, why would anyone do that?
I don't know. But now this, of course, then gets all the bullish sentiment out that retail is going to do well because, you know what, while they don't spend on gasoline, they have more money. They can go into the convenience store at the gas station.
That's the theory.
Yep.
But, and the result?
The result, well, we can talk about that in a second, about what happened over the Thanksgiving weekend in terms of retail sales and what happened over Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Let's just say that it wasn't great. But before we do that, let's look at that last chart. These are the oil companies. I want to show you what the oil companies look like. I gave you a bunch. There's a lot of chart there. Lots and lots of chart here.
Yeah, you got Rosetta Resources, Halliburton.
Yeah, look at the prices here.
Yeah.
This is since, let's call it September. September, Rosetta Resources was 48, now it's 26. Continental Resources, it was about 80, now it's 39. Hmm. Occidental Petroleum was about 105, now it's 80.
Buying opportunities to me.
I would tend to agree with you, by the way. Some of these got really hammered, like Triangle Petroleum.
What is Triangle Petroleum?
Triangle Petroleum, they're one of the shale guys. And one of the
shale guy, okay. Yeah.
Actually, we had that. And it did very well, and we sold it, fortunately.
Good for you.
Yeah, this is ugly. But even Apache from 100 down to 63 and Helmerich & Payne, HP was doing great. Helmerich & Payne from 100, and now it's just Payne. It's not Helmerich anymore. 102 down to 68. Uh-huh. There was actually a stock, Seadrill, this week. Now, here's a problem. Here's one of the things that's going on that could be really a problem. Some of these companies that, first of all, the MLPs, Master Limited Partnerships, that are like, they do the leasing of the pipes or some other kind of leasing of rigs, et cetera, they usually pay a very high dividend. Now, one of the problems may be that with the cut in prices and the lack of profitability, some of these companies may actually cut dividends. That is a very big concern. Seadrill has something like that happen. The stock just got just killed. So there's a few others in that genre also that could be problematic. I would tell you that there's a lot of stocks that have done well, but we have actually on Monday morning when that big drop was going on and there was a lot of movement in the oil, we actually picked up a call option on the XLE, which is the energy sector of the S&P 500. We're up about 100% on it since Monday. Some of these things pop back. And even with oil down again at about 2.5% today, these did very well. Mm. All right. Now, to get to the story that we were talking about retail sales. So, first of all, in theory, when oil drops, who's going to do better? You're going to have retail. You may have the travel industry, airlines, right? We saw that many of the cruise lines, airlines did very well. You look at Alaska Airlines, JetBlue, Delta, American, Virgin Atlantic, which has been on a tear, a brand new issue. The airlines really did very well. But at the same time, who can get hurt? You have like solar, alternative energies, and countries that rely on oil, like Russia, Venezuela. Russia's down 31%, the RSX, 31%. The ruble is down like 50% in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, the ruble is tanking, and of course, this won't go on forever. Can't.
No.
Although they can devalue or something. I don't know what they're going to do.
It did devalue already.
Well, yeah, by tanking.
I mean, you would think that
would, is there an investment opportunity here to catch it?
RSX. I mean, you could buy the Russian market. You're going to get a double whammy. If the ruble goes higher, you're going to get that benefit. And then if their markets go back higher, down 31% since July, that's a pretty big cut for a market. Oil starts to pick up a little bit.
Well, am I mistaken to think that that's not a bad way to go?
No, I would say that's a very reasonable thing to do. I mean, there's Gazprom and there's a few other companies that are Russia-based that are directly with Russia. And there's, what is that? They have some internet social media sites too. Now, what is that Russian social media?
Yeah, there's that one big one. I'm actually a member of that, though I forgot all about it, and I don't know my password, and I'll never get back in. But it's a Facebook of Russia.
Right, exactly. I'm trying to think what the name is.
I can't think of it either.
Yandex? No. That's China.
It's something like that, though.
Anyway, so Russia could be a very interesting thing. One of the big issues, of course, is that the sanctions are hitting them very hard, and it looks like that Putin's in a real big jam here. Now, who knows how long we'll stay there. But you also have the concern that many of the countries, like the Middle East, some of Latin America, Russia, these countries who rely on the income from oil exports could also slow down on infrastructure spending. They don't know, right? So
yeah.
You got to look at like U.S. Steel, Caterpillar, Chicago Bridge and Iron, maybe Freeport-McMoRan, these companies that supply a lot of the unfinished goods or possibly even the machinery to these countries could have some serious problems if infrastructure builds slow down. And something's going to have to give, right? If they don't make the money, something's going to have to give. I think the airlines are overdone. If you have any kind of scare from maybe Ebola, the bird flu, we saw three incidents that cropped up just outside of the U.S. and Canada. The bird flu now is coming into play. We're not even talking about China at this point. We're talking about right here at home. Now, that's not as big of a deal as Ebola, but, it still is a concern from the travel industry side of things. Now, in terms of the retail and the benefit of lower oil that we've seen going on for the last several months and how, wow, this is going to be great for consumers. Well, sales are down about 11% across the board compared to last year for the Thanksgiving, Black Friday, holiday weekend. Cyber Monday shopping was just a bust. Now, I don't know about you.
Cyber Monday was a bust? I didn't get that news.
Oh, yeah. It rose 8%, which is much lower than previous. That's not a good number. Now, Amazon and eBay did better, But last year, it was sales jumped about 17%. So that's not really that great. Now, the thing that's interesting is, I was wondering, you have more, the more and more you have of cyber shopping, just general cyber shopping, the more realization you have that you don't have to do it on any particular day. Now, I don't know about your email, but I've been bombarded with all sorts of Cyber Monday, and now this, what's today? Something Tip Tuesday?
I have no idea.
Something they want you to donate today or something. And
oh, yeah, something like that, yeah.
You know, there's just, but the thing is that basically these deals that I'm seeing, they're not much better than the deals that I get every single day, where if I went and I was actively looking for a product, I could find it somewhere cheaper.
Yeah.
So it's not like a big deal.
This is true.
And the fact is that people are wise to the fact that you could just snap a picture of something and find it online somewhere. So you're at a store somewhere, you could find it cheaper somewhere else. So, you know, they've created a real problem for themselves. It's a perpetual discounting mechanism now in the retail establishment.
I think it's a huge problem. Yeah. And in fact, I have one of those Amazon Fire phones. I don't use it, but I have one. But I was reviewing it. And it's a crappy phone, generally speaking, but it does one thing very well, which is got this feature where you point a camera at something and you push the button and it'll look for it. You don't have to like find the barcode or do anything fancy. It just looks at the product and finds every available version of that exact same product everywhere, and it gives you a list where you can get it.
Right. How great is that?
It's fantastic, but
But it's predatory to
now
retailers.
It's predatory in some ways, but modern companies seem to have adapted to it. Fry's, for example, the electronics store that most people shop at, I do myself, for certain things. You can do that there, and if you find a lower price, they'll just give you the price right off the screen.
They'll do it right from your phone?
Yeah.
Because a lot of places won't do that. They won't match that way. They want to see it in print. How archaic is that?
Well, that doesn't make sense because nobody does it in print anymore.
Right.
Because they said it will beat any online price, and so it's not going to be in print anyway.
Yeah, so what's the point of, you know, it's all, you remember Luria's?
Store? No.
Down here with a catalog store. It was like the old Sears, maybe.
Yeah, never heard of it.
You go into a Luria's, and it was a place that had, you know, a bunch of junk laying around, a few jewelry cases, and catalogs. And you go in, you kind of go through the catalog and say, I want that, and 4 minutes later, somebody comes out with a big old box for you. Big old storage facility in the back, warehouse, and in the front.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah, it's very old-fashioned.
Yeah, but it's the same kind of thing. Yeah, the difference is you have the catalog in your hand. And the catalog's not just that one store. It's any store.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it is...
But anyway, the matching prices, I think, is going to be the only way to go if you're brick and mortar. You just have to match prices. Although you should do enough research to make sure that the price online is not some bogus price that is, you know, nailed down.
And this could be a big problem for the brick and mortar, which has a much higher cost of operation than does. And this is going to hit right to the heart of retail in terms of jobs. Now, there's a big upswing in jobs and hiring for retail over the holiday season. I wonder if margins are under pressure due to the fact there's a lot of discounting going on and sales are down, if we're going to see an uptick in the unemployment claims numbers.
Oh.
Last week we saw that the initial claims number was about 311,000 initial claims. That's a lot higher than we've been seeing recently. We've been seeing 280, 270, and then it ticked up the last 2 or 3 weeks. Now, we do have, at the end of this week, the unemployment number from the BLS coming up, the official, you know, first Friday of the month unemployment number. Expectations are for about 225,000 new jobs added, 5.8% unemployment rate. I wonder if there's going to be a surprise to the upside on that. In other words, or I should say downside. Surprise to the downside. Not that many people. Tomorrow we'll be seeing the ADP number in the morning, the private payrolls on Wednesday, and we'll see if that happens. Let's see. I got the economics. Hang on. I got this whole list here. Expectations for the ADP is 200 and – that's the right date? Yeah. ADP. Where is ADP? ADP, 224,000 is the survey. Last period was 230,000. And expectations, we have 220, 5.8. So we already see that consumer confidence clicked down a little bit this week. Housing prices are increasing at the slowest pace in years. Case-Shiller 20 was at about 4% or so. There was a little while there where we were kind of increasing about 9% year over year on a monthly basis. You know, so it was kind of year over the years. The one thing about the retail is that right before the holiday started, the National Retail Federation, who is constantly a big cheerleader, of course, for the retail, we're going to see an increase of 4%. It's going to be one of the best years ever.
I saw that. All the arm waving and rah rah.
Yeah, and how important it is that 20% of the sales of retail is done throughout for the whole year in this one condensed period of end of November through December, and how it's so important. And you know, you got this weekend in particular is a real important weekend. And then we get the numbers that sales were down 11%. You know what they say now? Well, you know, it's a period. It's a time. We got to look over the whole period. You know, the weekend is not the most important. And, you know, there'll be revisions and not such a big deal. A bunch of hooey.
They were predicting huge numbers for Friday.
Huge. I'm telling you. It's terrible.
Yeah, and they came nowhere near.
Yep.
So that means all their numbers are going to be askew.
Mm-hmm. They're all full of shit anyway. They've been full of shit for years. You should track some of the articles that Barry Ritholtz wrote on this. He's a real stickler on this whole item of the NRF, the National Retail Federation, about the total BS what they put out. Absolute drivel. Just don't even read what they say. Now, with the recent drop in commodity prices, with the fact that the market seems to defy all gravity, the hedge fund industry seems to be in trouble. In fact, hedge funds are on the fastest pace of closing since 2009. In the first half of this year, over 450 funds closed. And if the pace continues, it will be the worst year for closure since 2009, where there were 1,023 liquidations of hedge funds. Now, you would say to me, what the heck is that about? Well, hedge funds, let's say, return 2% this year so far. Let's say, round number, the S&P is up 10%+ for the year. Let's just call it 10%. Well, they're up 2%, and the S&P is up 10% because they do hedging, and they maybe missed some of the macro numbers, and they didn't just buy in and hold, and they were a little bit short, and they hedged out. 8% differential. Now, if a hedge fund has to be has to meet a watermark. So they're like, okay, well, if we beat the S&P by 1%, then we get paid a 20% bonus, blah, blah, blah. And if we miss it, we have to get to the point where cumulatively we are greater than the performance before we get any of our bonus, right? Well, some of these funds then may be really in bad shape, not getting a bonus for some time. That makes sense?
Yeah.
What do? They close. They start another one.
Oh, that's funny.
So they start another one at the zero line. Okay, here we go. We're going to start right now with a new benchmark at the, you know, we're even.
So they just do resets. As you start losing, you do a reset. Yeah. No, we're starting. No, we're starting from here. We're not. It's like a race. No, I'm going to start from this spot. No, I'm sorry. I'm starting from this. No, this spot here. Up here, I'm going to start.
Exactly. Now, not all of them will do that. There's some big ones that closed. A couple of really enormous hedge funds closed. And some big names, actually. They were down like 4% for the year, and they're like, oh my God, that's awful, we're closing. I'm like, 4% for the year? That doesn't seem that bad, considering if you had a lot of commodities in your portfolio. Not that it's not good. I'm not saying it's good, but I'm just saying from the perspective of what's an awful return, doesn't seem
like
it.
Yeah, no, you could do worse, especially if things are going the wrong way.
Right. So, you know, Brevin Howard is closing like a $600 million, this one, and this guy is closing like a $2 billion deal. And what's going to happen there, and that's why you've seen some of these spotty days where you're seeing closures and a lot of just outright selling just to close out and cash out their portfolios.
Huh.
Like we saw on Monday, for example. There's just a big old sell going on. A lot of funds are blowing up because of the price of oil. They leverage it. They margin it. And the effect of the oil moving down, or if it moved against them, is very much problematic.
Well, I thought this was pretty well established, that oil was going to start falling when it dropped below 100, and then it started to act squirrely.
Yeah, well, I guess they didn't figure it right.
Apparently not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they even didn't figure it right, they could have at least been out of it.
Right. Well, even though maybe they said, oh, well, you know what? 70 is the bottom line here, and we'll be buying in 70, and then boom, goes down $4. And if we leverage that up, that could be a multiplier effect to your losses.
Well, I'm thinking 40 still.
Yeah, well, that's pretty impressive.
50, I'm sure won't be surprised, that's for sure.
So Ebola, not that there isn't any Ebola, it's been eradicated, it seems, although it seems to be totally out of control in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Only about 23 to 40% of the cases, now this is in Sierra Leone, 23% and 40% in Liberia, of cases are being isolated, and the UN is missing their goal of curbing cases. They're screwing up as usual. So I don't know what's happened to the rest of these, where, you know, this isolation is not going on, which I guess is why it's spreading so dramatically. Very sad.
Don't know.
Now, there is a interesting story that's been going on about hacking. Now, did you see this whole thing about Sony was hacked and a lot of their... See, this is interesting. In the old days, when you got a hacked movie, you know, you saw you bought a movie that was a, what would they call that? What's the word I'm looking for?
You know, a bootleg.
A bootleg movie. Yeah, you got a bootleg movie. Actually, it was cool. There was a time it was cool to get bootleg music. Remember that?
No.
You don't remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Bootleg down albums and
I
stuff like that.
No, that was cool. It was just, yeah. You just had more music.
Yeah. Anyway, it was, you get a bootleg movie. What was it? It was some schmucko standing in a movie theater with all sorts of people around them.
Yeah, filming it.
Filming it. Right, that's you go to Chinatown in New York or maybe in San Francisco, and that's what you got. Well, these days, that movies are digital. If they get stolen, it's a whole different thing. Now you got the real video. Now you got the real movie. So it seems that Sony was hacked, and a bunch of their movies, and the most recent is Annie, the new version of Annie, was released, and like 100,000 downloads or some ridiculous amount of downloads of the full-length Sony movie. So they were hacked.
Yes, and Sony's notorious for having very poor security in place, and so it doesn't surprise. I'm actually surprised that they kept their movies in a place where they could be so easily stolen.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, very dumb.
Where do you get these, by the way? Just out of curiosity.
Where do you get what?
The movies.
Well, if you're in Asia, you just go down to your grocery store or any of the shopping malls, and you go to the little shop there, and they'll sell you the movies for a buck or two.
Well, I'm just doing some research here. Let's say some guy is in the United States.
Well, I would assume that if you went into the piracy sites or the piracy forums, or if you went on the IRC and asked around, or if you went to, if you still had a subscription to one of these operations that like Pirates Bay or whatever that used to be.
Oh, that was great. Is that great? That was great.
Generally speaking, if the people that are plugged into that, they've already got their proxies together. They're downloading as we speak, and they're still into it, and they probably are downloading these movies immediately.
All right. Well, interesting. Just wondering.
It can't be that hard.
Right. Now, also in the whole mode of hacking, FireEye, a company that does internet security, found a major breach in data. This is fascinating. Talk about rigged markets, okay? Massive insider trading when it comes to, in particular, healthcare. A lot of biotech breakthroughs, merger and acquisition activity was somehow breached, this information. One of the things they did is they got, I guess these hackers got, it's some kind of funny word, some phishing name. What they do is they get the SEC account numbers and the SEC information, and they talk, you know, they write a letter to an email to the party responsible for maybe uploading data and say, hey, we need you to resubmit. Please resubmit this. And they, you know, say, you know, here's the link. And they then grab their passwords. And, you know, nobody's the wiser. And now they have the password for all these biotech companies, it seems, or these healthcare companies. And all of these major FDA announcements / M&A activity, a lot of it was used for insider trading.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. A lot. They found like 100 and something cases of this, of different companies. That's a lot of information floating around. And there's been a lot of M&A activity this year in particular. This reminds me of when you see the early releases of data on sites. You know, somebody released it early. Who knows who that was and why that was. But somebody maybe hacked it. and then you know, hacked the site and then released it early. Or maybe it wasn't just a, you know, a blunder. Same thing happened with the Fed when a couple of, I think about a year ago, with some major interest rate announcements, there was some information that was leaked from the Fed. So
yeah,
the more and more we get the idea that, you know, we are in a cloud world, the more potential we have for this data to be ripped.
Yeah, and it's going on as we speak.
Yeah. Now, Apple has been the darling of Wall Street, right? Even with the guidance lower. I mean, did I tell you I got an iPhone 6?
Did I tell you I have an iPhone 6 clone from China?
Oh, you got that one? The what's the name of it?
The iPhone 6. It says iPhone 6 on the back.
And is it the iPhone OS or is it...
It's Google OS with an iPhone skin.
Yeah, I've seen those. And it works okay?
Well, you can't use the iPhone. Because it's, for one thing, it's an iPhone 6 jumbo. It's a big giant thing.
Yeah, the 12-inch one.
Yeah, 12-incher. So this thing is a big giant phone that is too big. I don't like it. And it's also clunky. And because it's a cheap clone, it's got flaws. I think I don't think it's up to par in terms of quality control. For example, when you take the phone and you just toss it on the desk, it'll turn on a program or type in a bunch of numbers. That kind of thing.
I just have it
as a novelty to show people.
Right. I need a thumb extension. That's what we need. We need to create.
You got the iPhone 6, but you got the small one.
It's not small, for goodness sakes, but it's the smaller one.
Not jumbo.
Right. But you need a thumb extension. I can't reach that top left.
Yeah, well, you know, use two hands.
I guess. But anyway, I do like it, and I'm very pleased that I did get this phone, only due to the fact that the 4S, comparatively, in terms of speed, this thing is flying, doing great. It's what the 4S used to be. Although I did upgrade my Apple iPad 2 to the latest OS, it's pretty much bricked. It is so slow.
Adam Curry was discussing this, and he told me that they've got the new the crazy Macintosh with, I guess it's the tower, or maybe it's the new iMac, I'm not sure. And he says that both the new iPhone and the new Mac, in the way they've just got too many little... They're messing it up with too much gizmos and widgets and things that are just don't work right.
Well, the other thing is everything's connected. So my phone rings, and if I don't answer it the first time, somehow my iPad starts ringing. And if that doesn't go, my Mac starts ringing. I'm like, what the? And God forbid I have my Mac laptop on. That will start ringing. It's like annoying. It's like, just stop. Leave me alone.
Sounds annoying.
Leave me alone. And then I'm in the middle of doing something, and I got my iPhone off, so somebody texts me, whatever. But then it starts popping up on my screen. It's like, you know, I don't even have, there must be a way to turn that off, but.
Yeah, he said the same thing.
You know, Apple took a nosedive this week. On Monday, it had a 6% drop at the open.
Was this before or after I got kicked out? I had a short on Apple, right?
No, I think you're still, I got to look.
Okay, we'll check it out later in a little
but
while.
But Apple was down 6%. Now, it finished up down 3%. It recovered a little bit the next day. Today was down 0.5% as well. It's at 114 now, whoop-de-doo. But there was a couple of downgrades from some major players, of course, on the other side. There were some upgrades as well. But some of the concern about the Cyber Monday / Thanksgiving Day retail sales really hit that pretty hard. So we'll see what happens with that. Now, on this note of new things, I had to do it. I just had to do it. I got the GoPro.
Now, why?
Now, let me tell you a few things about this. First of all, it is incredibly small. Now, I'm not saying that in a good way. It's ridiculously, incredibly, horrifically small. That's first of all. Second of all, I'm still trying to understand. Did you know that it doesn't come with any memory?
No, I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me.
Would you have thought that maybe there was memory built in? Would you have just thought?
I never think there's memory built in.
Well, a lot of these devices, the iPads, all this stuff has the new video cameras have all the memory built in.
And okay,
I got this thing. I'm like,
I can see somebody thinking that, but it's just something I wouldn't think.
Yeah, well, it takes up to a 64 gigabyte micro SD. You have to get that separately. So I got the silver, what a hero, whatever it is. And, you know, you could take some video with it and all. I'm thinking, what the heck? This is something I had a concern about to begin with. You know, you see all these great videos online, all this stuff. Well, how do you then take a video and then make it look great? It's, at the end of the day, it's just a, you know, high def camera with a little.
Yeah, video. It's like a Kodak.
Right. So what do you gotta, then you got to learn how to do some kind of video editing. I downloaded the software. I'll let you know. But I got to tell you something. For the average guy who doesn't know anything about video editing, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to deal with.
No, of course not. Now, let me back you up a second. What is this thing? What is the name of this product?
Hero.
And what? Who's the company?
GoPro.
What's the second word in
I'm with you. I'm with you. Pro. I'm with you.
So if you're a guy that's on the one of these editors all day, and believe me, I don't do this. I used to do some video editing, and I don't like it. It's not much fun. It's a pain in the ass. And it's not simplified by any means by anyone. At least not so it's good video. So if you want to do video editing, you have to have an editing suite of some sort. It's a very time-consuming process and a lot of nitpicking involved.
I totally agree.
And you have to be a pro doing it all the time. And then, yeah, sure, no problem.
Not to mention the fact that you want to get that. You know, it's one thing. You stick a GoPro somewhere. I don't know. Let's say out my window of my car to make a, you know, some kind of a cool video of, I don't know what, but okay.
Driving around.
Yeah. You know, and to make it look really cool.
I've done this. I have a couple of video systems, and I mount a camera. This is, I sound like an idiot doing this, but I've done it. And I have a lot of these videos because I just think that I feel responsible for the future.
Oh.
So I put the camera up there and I take a drive. I've taken a movie of the entire drive down the El Camino Real in the peninsula. I took a bunch of movies of going over the Bay Bridge before they tore down the old section. I posted on my YouTube channel, Dvorak Uncensored, of me driving down the Las Vegas Strip.
Now, I venture to say that you didn't just put the video there with the sound of the, you put some maybe music behind it?
No.
No?
I just draw a video and I turn the radio up.
Oh, okay. Well, they. Well, I'm gonna see what the story is with this, because again, it's this is also in a case for depths about 130 feet you can go down.
It's designed for pro use. It's designed to be beaten up.
Right. I'm going
to
take this. I'm going to put it on the end of a gaff. Go fishing. Okay. Go fishing and gaff a fish. How cool would that be?
Now, that's one of the uses I could see why it would be good.
And I am worried about how to connect it to something, because it comes with a few different connectors, but I still don't really get how.
Shouldn't
you
be a problem.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But on the end of a fishing rod, or on the side of a car, or I don't know. I'll figure something out and see how that works.
Yeah, make sure it's not something that looks like a lure.
Well, that would be kind of cool, too.
Yeah, if you get the fish to swallow it, you can get it back.
Yeah, how great would that be? Send it out there and put it. Anyway, we'll see what this is all about. But I'm just saying that the novelty, I bought it for a purpose. It's research. I'm not kidding about this. I do this all the time. Now, I wanted to see exactly how difficult this was, because this will go right into my theory that this is the short of a century. Now, I'm not going to put it on. You have it as a short.
Yes, I do.
I am going to wait till after holidays, and I think I may put the house up.
Okay. Drop the house on this baby.
I may do that. Okay.
It might be the short of the century. There's a lot of good. I think there's a lot of potential shorts of the century coming up.
Yeah. And some of them, like I said, the oil, you know, we still see markets hitting relative new highs and some stocks underneath.
It just
like,
makes the short that much better.
Yep, exactly.
The way I see it.
Yep. Now, there's some good news in the fight against Alzheimer's. Biogen came out with a surprise today showing that their Biogen, one of their trials, are increasing cognitive memory function. How great is that?
That would be good if it was true.
Well.
I've seen this before. You've seen it before. You know, there's a lot of promise, a lot of promise, a lot of promise. Stock goes up and up, and a lot of promise, a lot of promise. Boom, fail. Mm-hmm. It turns out that they misinterpreted something, or they got the, you know, it didn't work out, or it's poisonous. People drop dead. They grow a second head. Who knows?
Or those, maybe they grow a big old mole with whiskers. It's possible.
Now,
Japan is back in recession, yen tumbling to 119 and change.
Nice.
Yep. China's starting to stimulate their economies in deep doo-doo through rate cuts and pushing more money into the banks. A lot of people are thinking that China is going to have another 2 rate cuts by the end of the year, and maybe even a reserve requirement cut for banks by the end of the year.
I hope they start dropping the price of the Toyotas and Lexuses.
Well, that naturally happened. Well, if they're, that's interesting because a lot of those are built here.
No, but the Lexus generally isn't.
Well, if that's the case, they're, well, what will happen is they won't drop the price.
And, no, that's what that's my guess. Yep, I'm just saying I hope they
do. And they're going to be further profitability. Europe is still a disaster, by the way. And let's not even talk about most of the countries around the world are in deep crap. We seem to be an island.
I mean, a big that's because.
Yeah, why is that?
Because we did the economic stimulus by the billions.
And we're still doing it, for that matter.
Yes, we're doing it. That's what's kept us afloat.
Now, what happens if ever, if it's possible, and I can't imagine at this point, that we stop stimulating?
We'll collapse.
Oh, okay. Let's check. I talked about
what
the economic...
What do you think will happen?
Huh?
So what do you think will happen?
I agree. I mean, you know, you got to have the stimulus. It seems like it is now the new economic way. You have to have stimulus.
It's called printing money.
Right.
And where's the hyperinflation and all the things that these naysayers, when this whole idea came to be, oh, we're going to have hyperinflation. We have seen nothing.
I think that's more concerning. Nothing. I think that is more concerning, not a situation where I'm panicking, but it just is very troubling that with all of the stimulus, with all of the break in the backs of all these currencies, that there is no inflation. That is very disturbing.
That's because we're in a depression.
Oh, okay. It's possible. Now, before we get to the stocks, I want to talk about two things. First, Chicago approved a $13 minimum wage. Is that? That's pretty good, huh?
I like it.
Yeah. And I think there was some real cruelty in this
next
story.
I'm not a big, like you probably are, a big negative Nelly about the minimum wage going up. I understand the argument from the conservatives and the Republicans. But, well, you know, I'm going to work for some guy. I'm going to make an agreement. Why is the government getting involved with it, with my agreeing to work for someone for $4 an hour? Because it's just an interpersonal thing. Well, you know, the joke of that is you can still do that. Do a cash deal.
Mm. Just it's keep illegal, it though.
Books. It's illegal. Totally illegal, but most things are illegal. So just, but who's going to complain?
All right. So everybody go out there and do under the table kind of deals.
I'm not advising.
That's John Dvorak is saying, go and make sure to rip off the government. And don't file your taxes while you're at it, by the way.
I actually know guys who are like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm not filing taxes.
You put it up in a cab. You get the offshore account, and then you pay yourself a salary from your own money. Yeah, and
that doesn't work. And you know what? I have clients that call me up like, we're doing our taxes. We need some of the data. I'm like, okay, for 2011, we need to get our realized gains losses. I'm like, 2011, aren't you past the extension at this point? I mean, like way past the extension? I don't know how that works at all and why people would do that. But
you get a big fine.
It seems that way. Now, this is a cruel story. I want to tell you, if we had some underlying music of cruelty to human beings and animals, this, we'd need to do this, okay? Congress is poised to prohibit Medicare from spending an estimated $444 million on vacuum pumps used to treat erectile dysfunction.
Isn't this an old story?
It's coming to fruition now. It's popping up again, so to speak. It's a real letdown, the story, I got to tell you. Now, this is a move that may frustrate people who can't afford drugs such as Viagra, et cetera. Now, I'm just thinking a couple things. Just talking out loud about just this concept. So, you know, there you go.
Let me start right at the outset and tell you, this story is nuts.
First of all... A vacuum pump. Is this a inserted like thing inside the what you call it there?
That does exist.
And it pumps it up kind of thing
inside of you, and then you push a button and it probably makes a racket. Yeah. Hold on, honey. It's gonna take a minute.
Yeah, it's like the balloon animals. It's like the guy that makes the balloon animals.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Probably sounds about the same.
And what I don't really understand about that is, so many things I don't understand about that. But it's a vacuum pump. It's not the thing where you.
That's what I always thought it was, with one of those cheesy penile enlargement devices that you have the little squeeze bulb.
And then has, what do you do?
Wait a minute. This will only take a minute. You want to pump this thing for me? I can think about
that. Is it like a blood pressure cuff where you just then turn?
Oh, you're asking me these questions. It's your story.
But you're much closer to the age of someone that would need this. You know? I don't know. May we never have to deal with something that could be.
Damn Medicare. Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the protests?
What I can't imagine is the $400 or plus million. How many of these things are they buying?
Yeah, that's a lot of people with problems.
I guess. Whatever.
All right, let's get to the stocks. This is a game that we play that an effort on mine and John's part to come up with some great ideas of stocks that may go up, may go down, and see how we can do. And we post these on a weekly basis on a Google spreadsheet, which you can check out at dhunplugged.com. Or you can always, we sometimes repost this, find it in our Twitter feed. Andrew Horowitz is my Twitter feed, and The Real Dvorak is John's. By the way, I'm getting some weird Twitter feeds lately. There's a guy that did some kind of an impersonation with a guy named Andrew Horowitz who plays piano and stuff, and everybody thinks it's me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little odd.
Well, you know, say it is.
Yeah, all right. And this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. Use your own research and make sure to do all your due diligence. Don't take our word for it. Who the hell are we, right?
Well, you're one of the great stock pickers of the United States. You've won competitions.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm just saying, you still really just do your own deal.
You're not supposed to listen to us. I mean, this is a game we're playing.
Exactly.
What you want to listen to is our rationales, and then you can use that for making decisions.
Exactly. So just going through the list here, still holding on to Anheuser-Busch, up 12.5%. Bank of California is doing okay. Yeah, it's all good. TransDigm, yours is up 15%. Zotus, up 35%. Twitter short, up 26%. Dix, I think, was stopped out. Oh, I got to stop that one out. Your American Assets up 16%. China Recycling almost stopping out, down 14%. Janus Capital short, which I thought was a great idea.
Yeah.
Is down 6%. GoPro, your short is up 20%.
There you go.
Amberella, my recent pick on the 22nd of October.
Took off like a rocket.
Yeah, up 26%. Play on GoPro, which I may have to reverse that. Monster Beverage up 10%. IBM going absolutely nowhere, defying all logic.
Yes. But it's at least it's dead money that is not losing much.
Amazing.
But it is dead money.
Yep. Now, I wonder what JNUG is today. JNUG is at $3. Let me look at this here. So JNUG was stopped out at 360. It's currently at 350. Oh, okay, that's interesting. This is the three times. I needed only a couple more days for that actually to work out. I was a couple of days on the wrong side because one day it was up 30%. But anyway, Chesapeake Energy stopped out. LinkedIn up 1.94%. And my pick of this week is actually a stock that is...
I'm very, by the way, upset by the Chesapeake Energy.
Well, you got killed because of the whole oil thing.
Yeah.
You know, all these drillers.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Anyway, okay.
So, Ulta. This is a retail establishment selling all sorts of fragrances / cosmetics, etc. And what's interesting about this, this actually made my list as a stock to include as a long, okay?
Okay, so why is you shorting it then?
I'll tell you why. They're coming out with earnings in a couple of days. And if you look at the pattern over the last couple of years, they have almost on every earnings gaps, just enormous gaps up or gaps down. Now, the last two earnings that they had.
Oh, you're going to play it with because of one of these patterns.
It's a pattern. Could be total bogus here. But
they never work.
Never work. So maybe I should just flip it here. But the last two quarters gapped up dramatically. Okay. last two quarters. If you go back and look at the same quarter, same time period, a year ago, let's say, same thing happened. In this quarter, because of the gapping and because of the excitement about it, they seem to fail and come out maybe with negative guidance. Now, don't forget, if we did see that retail sales were a little soft, they're going to also probably come out with some guidance on the soft side. But they dropped down dramatically. So I'm going with a pattern on earnings.
I think that's the first pattern play we've ever done.
Maybe. Could be.
It's always, it is one of the craziest things to attempt because it's very, the degree of difficulty is quite high.
Yep. It's a crapshoot.
Well, I have one, but I want to discuss it a little bit.
Okay.
It's, again, an insider buying. It's another company, though. It's a company. It's like, I don't even know if they're an investment company. They're a marketing company. They're an engineering company. Very sketchy, privately held company called Artal. The company, privately held Artal International, A-R-T-A-L, is buying $150 million
of?
Worth of a biotech company that went in the tank. And it's a penny stock, so we have to do 15% on this.
What is the symbol on it?
LXRX.
Lexicon Pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
Let's take a look at this. Lexicon, it's a dollar. Okay, let's see what they do here. Lexicon Pharmaceuticals. Biopharma, human disease. All right, well, so far.
Human disease.
It uses gene knockout technologies and integrated medical technology for psychological and behavioral functions of 5,000 genes of mice and assesses the utility of the problems encoded with the corresponding human genes of drug targets. It has five drug programs in various stages of clinical development, advanced molecules, drugs, these stages, all these different drugs. Okay. And you say, oh, they're not making any money by any means.
No.
149 employees. Earnings. November 4th. Nothing coming up here. So, gene knockout technologies. Interesting. To study the psychological and behavioral functions of almost 5,000 genes in mice. The utility of proteins encoded by the carcinogen. So what they're doing is kind of a mapping of what these genes and what these genes do in terms of the psychological. This is like something that if they get something right, it's used for like
everything,
defense and war.
Yeah, yeah. There's that.
You know what
this
I mean?
This stock when it in 2001 was selling for $41, and it had a range between like $10 and $35, and now it's a buck, and it's these guys just bought $150 million worth. Which is a lot of shares, which will take a lot of the shares off the market, which would naturally create a upside potential.
Who was the company buying? Was it Allied?
No, Artal. It's some kind of
Artal. Yeah, Director International SA Artal acquired 149 million shares. Stock was purchased at a cost of, that's a lot of money. $150 million. This dude's buying.
Yes, this is not the chump change.
And it fell for the end of the day. Wow. That's interesting. Wow.
So he's buying into a downtrend.
Well, it's no question about that, but that's very interesting.
That's the time to buy, of course.
I wonder why he bought $150 million. Director International SCA Artal acquired that much of stock. Well, maybe they're one of the ones that are doing some of the hacking. I like
gene hacking.
LXRX. LXRX. Let's put that here. LXRX. Big insider buying. Or, yeah, for somebody buying.
And a 15% on that I need because of the obvious problems with the low prices.
15%. Stop. Enter. Okay, got that. What else you got?
No, I got that's it. It's the only thing I got.
There's a buy here on yours. You got to buy. Here we go. So we're going to take this.
We got way too many things on this list and that. It's getting clogged up with a bunch of dead money operations.
Well, the good news is the year is almost over. Why can't I get this to actually... Nope, that's not it. AGCO, let's take this. Control-C. Oh, Control-Z, Control-C. And go here, Control-V. There we go. Loading. All right. Got it. 98 cents. This could be good. This is a very interesting one.
Yeah.
That's a substantial amount of buying.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a ridiculous amount of buying, actually. All right, we got this. It's on 12.3.
Yeah, apparently, he bought it at market. I mean, it wasn't buying it, you know, with some options or anything that would give him a good price.
Mm-hmm. Wow, good. All right, well, I get that on there, and we will be back next week. And make sure to add us to your Twitter feed, and make sure to visit dhunplugged.com for all the past information you find on our podcast. Some of the notes on the show, et cetera, and, you know, make sure to keep us close to your heart and close to your ear.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.